Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop. Acknowledge me.
Sunday morning. It's episode 337 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Justin Joint here to talk WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania 40 in the books, at least half of it. We watched it late last night. I was on the Bleacher Report app, did a little post show on there last night. I've had some time for my thoughts to set in overnight. I'm still not sure I'm totally comfortable grading this one, Justin, but we're going to do so. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. What's in the cup?
Well, I got some coffee this morning.
Yeah, I get same. Pete's coffee, dark roast. Oh, yeah. Fantastic stuff. Highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. First time I had Pete's coffee was when I went to San Diego, I do believe. There's a lot of them out in California. They got some in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah,
none here, though, but you can buy it at home here. So it's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
I think mine is Dunkin' Donuts. French vanilla. So no alcohol, you guys. Sorry. Drank plenty of alcohol last night, though. As I watched WrestleMania all night long and then produced all the content for all you. Justin and I, we did a virtual hangout with our main event tier plus patrons last night. Ton of fun.
Yes.
Had some drinks, you know, got ready for the show. We're going to be doing that again tonight. So if you're a patron, you can join us. Again, you got to be on the main event tier or higher. But they're a lot of fun. I'm expecting a big crowd tonight. We'll be live 1 hour before WrestleMania starts. There's a Google Meets link that we'll send out to the appropriate patrons, just like we did last night for that. So looking forward to that. I'm sure, Justin, we'll have the adult beverages flowing at that point in time.
Absolutely. Gonna need them after night one. Spoiler alert on how I felt about it.
Yeah. Well, give me a grade then, right? Let's start right now. What'd you grade night one of WrestleMania 40?
D plus. Easily the worst WrestleMania since night two of 38, which oddly enough, in my opinion, the only saving grace from that night was also the same as night one of WrestleMania 40, and that was Sami Zayn. Otherwise, everything just felt off the entire night. It just felt off. The crowd was subdued. You know, commentary was beating us over the head with how cold it was there the entire night, as if they were recognizing how quiet the crowd was. I don't know how much of that was actually the case, because also, you know, when you have these boom periods, you can also get more fans who, you know, aren't that diehard variety and who tend to sit on their hands more during live shows. So maybe that's part of it too. I don't know, but that to me, that really hurt a show that was incredibly mediocre anyways. So yeah, I don't know, man. The gist of it is, I'm just a dude with a filthy butthole who needs some vodka. And I'm just wondering if you have any recommendations.
Oh man, you're trying to top your post AEW deathmatch intro with that one there. Dude. The ads on the show were distracting. I'm sorry. You got to find a way to make it, you know, blend with the background a little more. I know they're making a ton of money off of it, and I get it. But you got to balance viewer experience with this stuff. You have to figure out a way to not make it so, especially during your main event.
Yeah.
American Home Insurance or whatever that was. The logo is bright white, and they've got it on like the barrier between the crowd just above the ring, and they had the font on that logo so small. Justin, I am a very average graphic designer, but even I, when I make our thumbnails and when I make our graphics for the show and that I put out on social media, I would know about white space. And when I'm viewing the hard cam and I see all white, it looks just like a bright light staring me in the face right above the ring. I would say, you know what you should do? You should zoom in on that logo and not leave so much white space, and at least just get the text filling up that area.
Yeah.
It was terrible. So bad.
The entire night was so distracting. In the Facebook group, I made the comparison to NBA uniforms with the, you know, advertisers patch, which is just such an ugly distraction. This entire night was just an ugly distraction.
Yeah, Justin making the reference to dude wipes a second ago, which was all over the screen. And, you know, they put the logo down in the corner. They got it on the ring apron. They got it on the ribbon boards. Like, isn't the ribbon boards enough? That's how they did it before most of the time, wasn't it? Like, it, you know, maybe put it on the ring posts. I don't know. At everywhere. And then we got Prime logo on the canvas, the Prime logo on the turnbuckles. Ugh.
The Prime stand in the corner of the ringside area.
That's over the top shilling. I'm sorry. It is. I get making money and everything, but you got to figure out a way to minimize that a bit more. Maybe they'll change something up tonight and learn, but that was real bad. As far as the show goes, I said on BR last night, I gave it a C, and Jeremy, who I was doing the show with, gave it also a D plus, maybe C minus. I'll say that a lot of my grade is just based on presentation, which is like what over half of WWE is now. If I was just grading wrestling, it would be lower for sure. I mean, the show did have that big feel of WrestleMania, although, as you said, crowd did not come across the TV. They were very hot early. Like, they really popped for Rhea Ripley when she came out for the opening match. Sammy too. But like, some of it's being an open air stadium, I guess. But yeah, they were, I mean, that main event to me, you know, I'm doing this live stream and I've got like one headphone off and I can't get the TV on totally loud because it'll ruin our audio. But from what I heard during the main event, it was dead. And you saw people like sitting down, nobody standing up, getting into it.
Exactly.
You compare that to, I mean, I know it's an all timer, but we just reviewed Mania 18 on Classics and that crowd just standing, going nuts. You know, this was just everyone sitting down. You barely heard anything. I know. Our friend, Zach Haydorn, he was at the show. I talked to him on Twitter last night a little bit, and he said, you know, it was loud there. He thought it was loud. And I told him, I don't know if they don't have the place mic'd well. Yeah. It did not come across on TV. It was like a Philly crowd dead, which was shocking, I thought. So, crowd was not great. I always say this on our pod. When I'm trying to grade these shows, I'm thinking, like, long-term, is there anything I'm going to remember? Is there anything that I want to go back and watch? And it'll be remembered for Rock making his return for sure. But as far as like wrestling matches go, all these matches for the most part were so forgettable to me. I don't see them as matches. And this is the case a lot of times in recent years where I have to even think about what were the matches on the show 2 years ago, three. Yep. I can't even remember, you know, and I can remember undercard matches from 30 years ago. easily. You know, as I'm watching this again, like, there's nothing I would go back and watch. There certainly were no match of the year contenders, which I need to put it at the A level. So for me, it was like average to maybe slightly below average. So that's why I came in at a C, which was maybe high.
I think that sounds really high for not wanting to ever watch anything again on this card, which for me, I would go back and watch Sammy and Gunther. But even with that match, Sammy winning leaves me lukewarm. You know, this is his fourth time holding the title. He's already basically a made guy. So you're not really doing anything there. You're just creating a moment, which, you know, I guess is their business now, and they could care less about anything else.
Yeah. Well, we got a bunch of people joining us live right now. So if you are tuning in, appreciate it. Got some people on YouTube, got a lot of people watching on Twitter X right now. So drop us a follow, subscribe to the channel, thumbs up. You know, of course, we got super chats open this morning, regular chat room. If you're on Twitter, tweet us. I think I can feature those in the show as well. Give us your grade for WrestleMania Night 1, what you thought. I will share our Twitter poll result right now. We can take a look at it. And Justin, I was noticing the bar graph looks like a big middle finger. Doesn't it?
It does. And it's appropriate because I don't know how anybody could grade this show a B.
Yeah, we got 179 votes. No, definitely not an A show. 179 votes. Yeah, 54% gave it a B. We got another 20% at a C and pretty much 20% at an A too. In fact, A and C have the identical amount of votes, giving you that index and ring finger and the middle finger image here. And we got 5.5% giving it a D or F. So yeah, I can't go higher than a C. I just can't. It was, you know, Jimmy and Jay did not deliver. I thought the middle of the card was not great. I liked the opening match. We're not going to get super nuts and bolts on these matches, but let's just briefly go through it. All right. So they open. Yeah, go ahead.
No, hold on. Because I need to start off with, for one, something I thought was interesting that I did not catch in the moment, but somebody else online pointed out.
Okay.
They kicked off the show with the national anthem instead of what everybody knows was Vince's preference, America the Beautiful. And that immediately led into Triple H coming out and the commentary team telling us that this is the Triple H era, which I just thought that was kind of fascinating.
Kind of overindulgent.
Kind of.
To say the least. I'm going to say this is one thing I agree with Vince on. America the Beautiful is a far superior song to the Star-Spangled Banner.
Agree. Absolutely.
But yeah, that was the noticeable change for sure. And yeah, I mean, you look at what they open with. So the women, Rhea had the band. I don't remember the band's name offhand. They played her live to the ring. Crowd liked it. Becky came out as Jesse texted us. And by the way, Jesse will be on the show tomorrow morning with me reviewing night two. Becky Lynch had boo-boo face all over when she made her entrance. Like, if you go back and you watch this, it is clear as day she's losing. Now, at the same time, they put over the fact that she had strep throat this week and that she wasn't feeling the best. But when I was watching, I was like, oh, she's losing. She does not look happy.
Yeah.
And the crowd also was very pro Ripley. Becky did not get that many cheers.
I guess maybe I wasn't analyzing it hard enough, but I did not notice the boo-boo face. In fact, the only boo-boo face I've ever for sure noticed was, now I'm blanking on his name, from Final Battle when he lost the Ring of Honor World Championship to Claudio.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
He didn't even come out in his normal, you know, entrance gear, which tells you everything. It was just a t-shirt, but, and I would just, you know, I got to think by this point, she's just too much of a professional to do that. So, and I just thought, you know, maybe she's trying to sell something with the story here. You know, also, I guess that you have the whole sickness thing, but it could very well have just been a boo-boo face too. But, you know, Rhea's been champ for over a year, so I don't know why Becky would just assume she was going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, and to the live crowd, they're not going to know about the sickness. You know, we're getting that on commentary.
True.
But the live crowd wouldn't know. And yeah, we predicted this. I think you guys both picked Ripley to win on our preview show. I went with Becky mostly because of the book stuff. And her entrance was, they read quotes from her book and they had like this massive book on the stage. And then she like walked through the book. I don't know. It was okay.
Yeah.
But I thought like for media appearances, just thinking how WWE thinks, maybe they want her to have the belt along the way. But in the end, I think this is the right decision. Ripley is super over right now. She's been champ for a year. No reason to change. You know, maybe build up Jade for a title shot with her in a big match down the line. But yeah, the match itself was, I thought it was a pretty good match. I mean, when you look at what you have the rest of the night, this is towards the top. I thought, what'd you think?
Yeah, I guess it was fine.
I mean, I know we're grading on a curve here based on what is to come on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there were some highlights, like Ripley had the Northern Lights, which looked really good. Then Lynch countered with a suplex into the inside cradle. Just glancing through some notes here. I mean, the crowd's hot. You can't complain too much with this opening. I thought that was the right call. Hunter was asked about this in the post-show scrum. I stayed up really late watching that last night. And he said he pretty much didn't consider anything else other than this for the opening match when he looked at the card.
Which, so, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I think he's right.
Yeah. So the finishing sequence was we had Ripley counter the manhandle slam from the middle rope. And then she hit the riptide into the turnbuckle. And then she hit another one in the middle of the ring. Cover 1, 2, 3, retain the title.
Good finish. Good finish. Yeah,
it was a good sequence. So here's my problem, Justin. They go from this to this six pack ladder match deal. These matches are so played out. I know like the live crowd likes the big spots and everything, and they definitely popped for him. These, every single one of these feels exactly the same. There is nothing unique about them. It's all right, put a bunch of guys out there that can do high risk stuff, add a ladder, and we'll do the same thing every goddamn year. Like, who's ever going to remember? No one will remember this match in 2 months, let alone 2 years or 20 years. It's just, it's so bland to me. Like, I see a ladder, I don't get excited anymore. It's, they do the same thing. It's so formulaic. You?
Yeah, absolutely agree. I was kind of bored during this match, and I think the only thing that's going to really be remembered is also the thing that immediately takes me out of the match, because it's like, oh, well, they're not taking it seriously, so why should I? That's the R-Truth hot tag moment, which was funny, mm-hmm. but it's also like, okay, that's dumb. That's, you know, obviously doesn't mean all that much to them.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, you do it for the live crowd and the match dies immediately afterwards. I don't, you know, they hung the two sets of title belts up separately.
Yeah, I hate that too.
So it kind of told you that what was going to happen was splitting the titles. And I don't know. What did you think of the result?
I don't care. I didn't really care for any of the tag teams coming in. There wasn't anybody I was truly rooting for. I said it in our preview show that I thought the Creed brothers should have been in this. That would have given me a little bit more of something to root for. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like Waller. I do not like Austin Theory at all. So that didn't do anything for me. And I am certainly not a, you know, the Truth fan. So they're a joke team, you know, mm-hmm. happy they have a moment, especially R-Truth getting his first WrestleMania win, but don't care. They're a comedy team.
Yeah. Tells you the state of the WWE's tag team division. Yeah. Unfortunately. I think on our preview show, I thought maybe DIY would get a moment here, but yeah, it kind of spoiled it. Like you were saying, it was kind of clear R-Truth was going to get a moment throughout. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, yeah, he's with The Miz and the team's a joke. I agree with you totally. Waller has some upside. Austin Theory, to me, doesn't at this point in time. They need to do something totally fresh with this guy. But yeah, Theory and Waller are the SmackDown tag champions now, and Truth and The Miz are the Raw tag champions. This division just doesn't have the depth to have two tag team champions. Look at who are your champions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's agree gonna 100%. Die more. It's just going
to, but also
more,
it doesn't make, sense to have an undisputed tag team championship when you have two world titles, you know, quote right. unquote world titles. Mm-hmm. But
unfortunately, yeah. Well, we've professed over the years many, many times how little we like that and how it dilutes the championships and all of that. So yeah, unfortunately that's the case right now. Now let me just switch tides a second, because we got a text message from a friend of ours a little bit ago. What'd you think of commentary on this show?
Didn't really hear it.
You got your superpower.
Yeah. I really couldn't tell you much of what they talked about. You know, even I brought up how they kept talking about the temperature and how cold it was. Well, that's because they kept like showing a graphic of it mm-hmm. on the screen. So that's how that caught my attention. But otherwise I didn't really catch much of the commentary, but you know, going back to that friend that texted us, all time fucking bad stuff, apparently.
If I saw Pat McAfee dying on the side of the road, I would not stop and help. Said a former podcast host of ours that you all might be familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm stunned he watched the show, to be honest with you, but
I think he's just watching the main event.
Yeah. Well, that's where it really stood out to me. The Pat McAfee screamo announcing is not for me. I wish I had your superpower, Justin, and I could turn it down. But yeah, I was reading that text message and I thought I had to ask you about that. yeah, the temperature stuff. Are we going to get WrestleMania in Minneapolis? They haven't announced it yet. You know, we think it's going to, we would hope that they would announce it this weekend. Maybe tonight we'll get an answer. Maybe another city will come out of nowhere. But my bigger thing I noticed with the show and them constantly talking about the temperature and the wind is, why are you doing outdoor manias in a northern city mm-hmm. when you don't have to? You know, like I was stunned that they did a second one at Giant Stadium, right? They've done their
yeah.
two of them now. This Wait. Is how forgettable these manias are. They did 29 there. 29 was there.
35.
Yeah, yep. That's right. And when they went back, I was like, this is so risky, you know, not just because of the temperature, but the rain. And like, I wouldn't want to deal with that. You got all these beautiful domed indoor stadiums all across the country. Why would you even take the risk? You know, and like a little part of me, when they do these outdoor ones, has always hoped, I wish it just storms rain just to see what they do. And we know that they did, you know, they delayed the one because of rain. But I mean, I'm talking like monsoon all night long. just to show them how dumb it is. Like, why even risk this with all the indoor stadiums? And like, you know, the performers talked about it, but when they got out there, they had some adrenaline and they didn't notice as much how cold it was, but backstage they're freezing. It's just like, why even put your performers? Yeah. I hope this is the last one outside in a northern city, because it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Agree.
All right, so we go from this to the, let's see, was the tag next, right?
Yep.
Mysterio and Andrade taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom, with a lot of people out there at ringside. I'll be totally honest with you, this is when I was helping get the kids to bed. Haven't had a chance to go back and watch much of this. If you have, give me your thoughts.
I was in the exact same situation as you. I missed almost this entire match.
We got, this is when Jason Kelsey and fellow Eagle Lane Johnson got involved.
No idea who that dude was.
Yeah. I, you know, it wasn't that surprising because the word was out there that Kelsey was going to get involved, but they come out from the crowd in masks and got involved in the finish. And they celebrated with Ray and Andrade afterwards. Let me just see.
I mean, of course the baby faces are going to get the win when you have like, you know, talent, you know, actual sports guys from the city there to interfere. But God, I mean, 2 years in a row that Dom's losing to Ray, I mean, that isn't great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This was the finish. I saw it. So Dom was going to use a chair, and then those two guys in masks, the Eagles, former Eagles players, come out and they take away the chair, which allows Ray to hit the 619, and then Escobar hit the splash for the win. Yeah, so they got to celebrate with the crowd. I mean, you know, being in Philadelphia, of course they pop for those guys, but it was pretty damn forgettable, I thought, from the bits that I saw. Finish was okay. Pops a live crowd, but yeah, we'll move on. Jimmy and Jay, not a lot positive to talk about here. Match was totally disjointed. It kind of felt like they needed this match to have some kind of big stipulation or even gimmick match, to be honest with you. I wouldn't want it to be a ladder match, because we've seen so many ladder matches, as I just talked about. It was just missing something. They went 11 minutes. Finish was obvious. Jay never wins, as Jesse was talking about. So obviously he was going to go over here, but it just was there. It was very average. It was like a very basic TV match.
Yep. It was boring. It was just a lot of over the top emoting, which is a major crutch that I think WWE superstars use when maybe the chemistry isn't there in the ring. And on, you know, outside of Owen and Brett, you know, the history of brother versus brother in WWE is pretty terrible.
It is.
And I was hopeful that this would be different, but this, I mean, this sucked. This was really bad, really boring. And it's just kind of astonishing with how great they are as a tag team and how okay Jay is as a singles. I'll just kind of leave it at that as far as what I think of Jimmy as a singles wrestler. Yeah, just this was shit.
Yeah. You know what else was shit?
Dude wipes.
Well, yeah, that was this the dude wipes match?
Yes, it was appropriate. Oh my God.
Yeah. If you're going to announce somebody as the greatest rapper of all time, then they better impress on the mic. And I'm not saying I don't like Lil Wayne at all, but he was bad.
Yeah.
He was real bad in this entrance. It did not come across well at all. By the way, don't think he's the greatest rapper of all time. Come on.
It seemed like the audio was off. Like, his mic just seemed like it was at a totally different level than the music, which was really noticeable once they got down to the ring.
Yeah.
And you could hear him in the background while Jay was doing, you know, the arm waving thing. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so he played Jay to the ring, played him to the ring in quotes, not great. Otherwise, the video package was good. You know, they always, They always hit these video packages out of the park. You would think going in, like, this is the most hype match of all time. Oh my God, brother versus brother, despite the match having very little heat going in and coming out after the match that we saw. Jay did hit a super kick on Jimmy at one point. I remember that looked real stiff. Like, I was worried he might have knocked him out a little bit, but nope. Jay ends up coming back, played underneath a little bit throughout the middle, hit an Uso splash, got the pin. No Solo Sikoa. Probably, I mean, I could go either way on that. It would have added a dimension to Jay having to overcome something, but yeah, this just didn't work. So yeah, that was Jay and Jimmy. No deep thoughts there. then they go to Damage Control, taking on Jade, Naomi, and Bianca Belair. And this was kind of, I thought it was kind of odd how they all got abbreviated entrances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's WrestleMania. These entrances usually take forever, but for the babyface team here, like, they all just, they came out one by one, but they only stood at the top of the stage. I thought that was odd.
See, I didn't mind it. I thought it made them all look like a big deal. Like, especially with, I think, Bianca obviously being the superstar of the bunch, to have the other two come out with her kind of gave them a little bit more of a, you know, a gravitas. They looked like $1 million. I thought the entrance was actually probably where this match peaked.
Yeah, the ring gear was great. I mean, yeah, the presentation during the entrance was great. I don't know. I was just kind of wondering if, especially Naomi, who's always really hung her hat on these big ring entrances, if she was frustrated by that at all. Probably not. But yeah, Bianca coming out at the end was right. And then they, in unison, come down the ramp together. Let's see. Any notes on this one? You got anything that stood out to you before I get into the...
No. I think I was pretty distracted with one of the kids at this match, too.
Jade looked pretty good in this match. We've talked about, you know, she's very green. A lot of times it comes through in her matches that she's got a lot of work to do. She hasn't, you know, she's, all of her work's been off television since she went to WWE. She's been working out a lot at the Performance Center. We thought she might get a run in NXT, you know, to get a little more experience. That hasn't been the case. But I thought that she looked like she's maybe improved a little bit. Nothing to set the world on fire or anything, but there was nothing egregious. She did a big backbreaker to Kyrie that looked pretty good during the middle of the match. Kyrie really selling that big. Belair hit a moonsault to all three of the opponents at one point in time. But yeah, it just felt, everything about this match was just the presentation, the ring gear.
Mm-hmm.
Match-wise, just, again, wasn't much to write home about. Yeah. Very forgettable. Could have been a six-person match on SmackDown or Raw.
You know, right outcome if they believe in Jade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because if they do, the crowd reacted huge to her. They were getting chants that they wanted Jade when she was on the outside before she tagged in. So, I mean, it's right there for them. Slowly build her up. Don't rush it. But you got that huge match down the line with Ripley, perhaps, or somebody else, and that can make you some money.
Bianca at some point. I think that's the dream one.
Yes. Yeah, that one too. Although on Bianca's part, pretty big step down this year, right?
Yeah,
she's been such a featured part on Mania the last few years. They're just, we talked about it in the build-up the last couple of months. There was just no logical place to really slot her in for a big match.
Mm-hmm.
Some thought maybe she'd work a singles against Jade at one point in time. But when you look what she's done, yeah, this was pretty damn forgettable, unfortunately. But hopefully elevate another star in the long term. So, yeah, Jade got the win for her team. Match was pretty short. It was 8 minutes and 5 seconds. Oof. 8 minutes and 5 seconds. All right, let's get to the IC title match. Probably the highlight for me.
Yes.
This match, we can talk about the finish and if that was the right call, but Gunther defending against Sammy. I thought that, again, the hype video was awesome. The build to this match has been really good. You know, Sammy doing the training with Chad Gable and all of that. And they did this thing backstage where he thought Chad was going to walk out with him. And Gable's like, no, you got to be out there alone for this one. And then he's walking through backstage getting hyped. I was a little worried he was going to injure himself when he punched that card, whatever it was. Having flashbacks to when they called him up and for the open challenge and he threw out his arm but he hit that cart real hard. Yeah. And then he like hit the wall at one point in time, and he's walking up to the gorilla position, and who's there but Kevin Owens in a phenomenal Terry Funk t-shirt.
Yeah.
They embrace, and the camera follows Sammy out to the ramp, gets a huge ovation from the crowd. You know, he had his wife and kid backstage too, I should have mentioned. And then she's out there at ringside during the match, which played a big part into all of this. And yeah, they go 15 and a half minutes. A lot of the match was like when Gunther would take advantage, he would sell to Sammy's wife at ringside what he was doing to him. Sammy just trying to fight from underneath. He's like having these spasms trying to get himself going on the mat. And it looks like Gunther has him beat, but Sammy's able to hype himself up enough to come back and capture the IC title to be the one to finally beat Gunther. And Justin, do we think that this is the right call? Because obviously with Gunther's long title reign, it could have elevated somebody who's not in a position to be a champion and put him over really strongly. Sammy's definitely a made man already. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, he got the tag title win last year, didn't get the world title win, famously. You talked about this in the build-up. You know, he's been IC champ before. So this is one of those things where it's not like he's doing something unforeseen totally. Do you think it was the right call?
It's just one of those things where I'm of two minds of it, because I watched the match. I really enjoyed the match. How much of that is because I did not enjoy everything surrounding it could be part of it, but Sammy's over, but it just left something to be desired. You know, you would assume in one of these kind of situations, you would want to use it to build somebody else like a Chad Gable to give them a bigger moment, a bigger platform. There's also the part of me that's like, well, it makes sense to do it at WrestleMania 40, big number, mm-hmm. but also I think it will probably end up getting overshadowed by what we're assuming is going to happen on night two, and we're never really going to think about it. And, you know, part of me is also like, well, I need to see how this plays out. Like, what is this just going to be a short transitional run for Sammy, which could also hurt my perception of him winning. But also at the same time, it's like, if he has a long run with it, what's that doing for him? What's that doing for the company? I just don't see it there, but I love the match. You know, that's why I'm kind of torn about how I feel about it, because it seemed like Sammy really started leaning into the El Generico character that he may or may have not portrayed once upon a time in the indies. And my moment of the 3 mile was that turnbuckle brainbuster, which he's never actually done in the WWE before, but was, you know, a finisher for El Generico. That moment just that popped me huge. I loved it. The entire end segment was just fantastic. Although I do have one other issue with this match, and this is not really on the match itself. I would put this more on, you know, the backstage coaches and whatnot. A big part of this match was about Gunther taunting Sammy's wife, who was ringside. What did we have in the very next match? Long portions of it, Rock haunting, you know, Cody's mom at ringside. It's just like, really? Back to back, we're doing the exact same thing?
In the almost exact same position, too.
Yeah.
Same corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Very similar things to close the show. Yeah, I love the match, too. It was not your typical Gunther match. You know, in some ways, it was definitely slower, more plodding because of the selling to Sammy's wife. But yeah, I mean, when he hit that super brainbuster in the corner, holy shit. I also popped out of my chair when he did that. And that was like part of this finishing sequence. So again, like Sammy was getting toyed with for a long stretch of time, but he started to show life, and he comes back and he hits the Huluva kick, and then he hits that super brainbuster, and then two more Huluva kicks and covers for the pinfall. Yeah, the match was really good. I mean, again, this is one of those I think I need to revisit, you know, just watching it in the moment, seeing it a second time. But I really liked it live. I think for Gunther losing to him, you know, he at least doesn't lose much because he lost to an established guy.
True.
You know, so good not point. Like I'm not worried about him losing to Sammy. it's just maybe a missed opportunity for someone else who could have gained more. Cause like, yeah, we said, Sam, this is the fourth time he's had the IC title.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know what really, what's going to come out of the rain.
In talking about my concerns is, you know, what's Sammy going to do? What's his reign going to look like? The other half of that is what's next for Gunther? Cause I'm a little worried that there is not much out there for Cody to do if he wins the world championship, that he could be fed to Cody as his first feud. I hope that's Germany. Not the case, but yeah. Man.
No, I think that's for sure what's going to be happening. I think Gunther's going to, well, possibly that, or, you know, maybe we'll see. It's the Germany show, is that May or June? I can't remember. But I mean, I think he's going to main event that show for sure. I think he's going to be thrust into the title picture. So we might. Could they do him and Drew? I mean, just, maybe he's going to get cheered over there.
Yeah, but it's got to be a title change if he's going to be main event in that show. I'm just worried that they're going to waste this, you know, record-breaking IC title run by just having him be somebody's feud, and then he's just kind of back to the mid-card.
It does feel like the common WWE trope we've seen over the years. I know the same guy's not back there in creative, but like if Cody is going to be winning the title and they shake up these rosters a little bit, he's going to feud with the foreign guy, right?
Yeah.
The great American baby face, the American nightmare, feuding with the evil German, you know, Austria, whatever. He's going to be over there. Like that totally fits exactly what they would do.
Yep, I agree 100%. And it just, to me, the run should have gone until they were ready to immediately slot him into the world title picture as a winner, not as like just somebody's, you know, next stepping stone.
Well, we've talked about a lot. I wanted to see a IC champ versus world champion thing.
Yeah. Which, you know, I guess they could still do it, you know, maybe not as a main event, but you have him win the IC title back at that German show.
True. You could do that. Return match. So yeah, it was a good match though. I think this was the match of the night for sure. And I'd probably follow that with Rhea and Becky. Maybe. I mean, there's not a lot to pick from, but like this was the match of the night to me overwhelmingly. I don't think it's particularly close. So with that, we get to the main event. Justin and I were talking off air. We seem to have a much different take than people online, people who are there. I mean, I think when you're at a match, and we've talked about this before too, when we go to pay-per-views and we review them, we're like, you know, we were there, so it's not exactly the same. We're going to bump it up a little bit more because of the live experience. And of course, like Rock hasn't wrestled a real match in 11 years. So if you're there and you're actually getting to see that in person, I'd be hyped as hell for it too, to actually see the Rock work. But you know, I've got some text threads going right now with people who were there. And like one of my buddies, Ben, who was there, he loved it. And our other friend, Jeremy, who I did the VR show with, he's like, no, the match was so slow. Did not translate on TV. They had like 4 minutes of actual wrestling, all brawling, you know, and they're going back and forth, right? Like right now, as we're podcasting about it, arguing, and I'm getting my text popping up here over and over. I'll tell you, it's tough to do watch alongs. So when Jeremy and I were doing the BR watch along, we're going to be doing it tonight too for Cody and Roman. There's a lot of like downtime. Like these entrances took forever. That said, I really liked The Rock's entrance, but it took forever. And so we're just on this live stream, hundreds of people watching on BR, and we're just like, all right, here we go. We're going to get going. And they get into that face-off thing, and it seemed like they wanted to get the reaction that you had at Sky Dome at Mania 18, and they did not get it at all. The crowd was, they were cold, literally cold, but also figuratively cold, because I didn't hear much. You didn't even have the people like all standing up and like, you know, pumping their fists. People are just sitting down in the background, and they played that up for a long time, trying to get this crowd to do the face-off pop. And he didn't get much of a pop. Did you think?
No, I agree with you 100%. I think it was very obviously what they were going for, and they did not even come close to getting that.
And you get like Cody and Seth circling forever and not really much happening. And then like teasing that The Rock's going to get in there. And then like when they finally get the match going, it's basically for the first 20 minutes or so, it was all punches and kicks. That's like all it was. At one point in time, Rock took a clothesline because Jeremy and I were like, is he going to take any bumps in this match? And we talked about that on the preview show, just like the riskiness of him taking bumps. And if he's going to be on offense the whole time, he was on offense most of the match. But he did take some bumps. He took that. It was like a clothesline or a back elbow. Obviously, he took the Rock Bottom through the table. I was shocked he did that. But most of the match was like you had to protect Rock. And they brawl through the crowd. It was not a no DQ or no count out match. But they did this deal where Rock basically yelled at the referee. I couldn't hear all of it because I had my headphones on the stream. But did he like threaten you can't DQ me because I'm the boss or something like that?
I think he was basically telling him to stop with the, you know, the count out.
Yeah.
With the counting on the outside, which, you know, okay, I guess you're trying to drive home that, you know, he's part of the board and he can make these kinds of, but like, why wouldn't he just make night two a bloodline match? If he has that kind of power, why does he need to like bully a referee?
Exactly. Exactly. Or just make it a no count out. Yeah. Just why not?
Yeah, that was more distracting than I think what it added to. And also, it's like, to your point about the way this match opened, well, this was literally a blood feud. And they just start with kind of a casual lockup, and then it just goes on to, you know, kicking and punching without really any true emotion behind it. It's like, they obviously knew they had a long match ahead. Mm-hmm. And so they were saving a lot of it. And yes, that I just thought that completely bled through the TV. It was so obvious.
Yeah, it's, again, I hate, you know, it's fresh in my mind, but we just talked about Mania 18 and what a great brawl Taker and Flair was.
And yeah,
this just was not a great brawl. It wasn't. I mean, I know they're limited in what they can do because of Rock and want to be, you know, protect him a little bit and everything. He wants to get through this to prove he can do more matches too, I'm sure. And maybe to prove he could do a singles match, which was the original plan. We can talk more about that because he talked about this in the post show afterwards. But yeah, I mean, it was the early part was all brawling, a lot of posturing to the crowd with very little response, just seemed very, very slow. I felt like it took 25 minutes or anything to get going here. So it was so slow watching it on TV.
So, but you know, yes, agree. It took like 20 minutes and then they started like brawling around the outside and it felt like it was really picking up some steam.
Yeah.
And that took like another like 10 minutes. And then they got back in the ring and I'm watching with my boy. I let him stay up late to watch it. We, you know, offered him if he'd like studied hard and stuff like that, that he could stay up late and watch WrestleMania with me. And he's watching this match and, you know, they have the 20 minute basically normal tag team match. Then they have this outside brawling and then it just kind of went back to normal. And he's sitting there 6 years old and he goes, is it a tag team match again? Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. It's just a tag team match.
Yeah. Did you notice too, how when Rock was out of the match, once they got back to the ring and now we were commentating on the stream too, where it was like, they were just in this massive brawl and now all of a sudden they're just standing in their corners waiting for
yeah
okay
yeah
okay
it was just such a convoluted mess. And I just think it's, they talk about it's the Triple H era and this is just him at his worst, when, you know, after the shine of NXT kind of wore off, you know, the black and gold, that is where it just, these main events became so overindulgent. This, yeah, you know, this didn't need to be 44 minutes, an hour and 10 minutes if you count the entrances. It, just let it be a bit more of a race than this slow, plodding, over-the-top main event that we got. But, yeah, you know, having said that, just a general thought to your point earlier, this product just probably isn't for me because, like you, obviously people in attendance are going to have different feelings about it. But even people who are watching at home, I hopped on Twitter and I saw almost overwhelming praise for it. So they are giving their audience what they want. And it just makes me feel like I'm not their audience anymore.
But even, I mean, it's funny though, even your 6 year old was nitpicking it. So I mean,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Raise them right. Yeah. It, you know, was, I felt overbooked. too slow and plodding. It had its moments. The crowd was weak. And I knew, you know, we kind of all predicted the Bloodline was going to win, to set, really stack the deck against Cody tonight. And that's what happened. But I really knew that Roman and Rock were going to win when the baby faces had their finishing sequence, and they did like the double pin where the ref counted with two hands.
The stereo pedigrees.
Yeah. When that wasn't the finish, it's like, there's no way they're winning, because that would have been that the crowd did pop for that. And it was like, mm-hmm. if they're winning, that has to be the finish. And when Roman and Rock kicked out of that, I was like, they're for sure winning. Like, there's no question in my mind, because if Seth and Cody went on to win, it would have been like, that should have been the finish for sure.
Yeah.
You could not top that. Could not top that. Did you notice when Rock was out late in the match that he was just kind of like standing on the ground, leaning against the ring, not up in the corner?
I missed that.
So he was like, they went through this period where they thought the baby faces were going to win, but like very clearly Rock was standing right there just watching. I was like, he's obviously going to, I think he ended up pulling the ref out or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I was like, you could see it coming from him. He was wide awake, just standing there like with his arms crossed, leaning on the ring apron. And he did this for a long time late in the match. Like, he wasn't selling that he was hurt. He was just like standing there. It's like, all right, he's obviously going to do something here. I can't buy into they're about to win, because I'm seeing massive Dwayne Johnson just standing there lurking, you know, on the ground, though. He wasn't up and holding the tag rope or anything. That was kind of odd. But I was stunned he did take the Rock Bottom through the table. So props to him. I will say, in what he did, he looked fine.
Yeah. You know,
I was a little worried after the match. He was limping a little bit on his left leg, and I worried about his quad, because they didn't really work his leg in the match. So it wouldn't be like he was selling his leg, and he was limping all over the ring and the post-match portion. And I was like, oh God, he got injured. But then when they got to the ramp, he wasn't limping anymore. Hmm. And he said in the scrum afterwards that he was fine. So looks like he's healthy, which is good. I'm sure that they want to do, I think there's two paths out of this, you know, either, oh, and we should mention, by the way, there was the spear to the Rock during the match on accident. If you start the dissension, Roman accidentally speared Rock. And that was a huge spear. They sold that pretty well. And so, you know, they can either lean into that right away and get their Roman Rock match, perhaps as early as this summer at SummerSlam, or they keep him heel a while longer and they do a singles match with Cody, you know, based on they continued him going after Mama Rhodes in the crowd, as you mentioned. So I think there's two paths here. It'll be interesting how they play that out tonight. I would say, even though the match wasn't great for me, I was impressed with Rock's performance. Is that fair?
Yeah, I agree. I do think, yeah, like, it was obvious that he was taking some of those bumps pretty gingerly to make sure that, you know, parts of his body didn't explode. Like at WrestleMania 29, he wants to make sure he's good to go. But yeah, I was mostly impressed. He kind of moved like the Rock of old, but obviously, you know, he's not that. So yeah, it was fine. One other thing that bothered me on this match, with how slow and plodding it was, to get to like the 40 minute mark of this match, and then all of a sudden it's like just a flurry of finishers and basically people no selling them. Roman Reigns took two crossroads in a row and then just hit a spear like it was nothing. Like he had just had no damage the entire time. That's, I just think it should have been a quicker 20 to 25 minute match. And a lot of the problems I have with it would make more sense. Like it just would have been so much better.
Yeah. Jesse is checking in here. I want to feature Jesse's comment. He's got his son this week and he said, just finished our bath time listening with one earbud. I gave the show a C. Sammy Gunther and Becky Rhea carried the show. Here comes the Overbook night two main event. I think my thinking on what they're going to do post Mania shifted a little bit. I've talked a lot on the pod about how, you know, I think Cody's going to win, but, you know, I hope Rock doesn't cost Roman and that there would be like some dissension to lead to their eventual match, but Cody wins clean. You know, I thought, and that might still be what happens.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think we all predicted that Rock and Roman were going to win. It made the most sense for what we're assuming they're going to do on night two. but the execution of it left me a little cold, just like the fans in attendance, with him just kind of seemingly pinning Cody pretty clean with that people's elbow.
So that's what I was getting at, because now I don't think Roman Rock is the match. I think Rock Cody will happen before Roman Rock. So maybe Rock works SummerSlam and then Mania next year. And if Mania is in Minnesota, Justin, we might be there for Roman Rock, because the fact that you had Rock pin Cody clean, he hits the Rock Bottom, he hits the people's elbow, and he cleanly pins perhaps your next top champion in this company. I think they're going to lean heavily into the fact, like, it's that finish that tells me it's going to be like, sure, you beat Roman, but you didn't beat the final boss. I beat you.
Yep.
And yeah, that's going to be the story. And then we'll still get the dissension and eventually Roman Rock. But I think Cody Rock is the match now for sure.
Yeah. I'm kind of reserving my overall opinion on the match. I mean, which I didn't like, but I mean, I need to know how this is going to go forward. You know, I don't know if I see Rock and Cody as a WrestleMania match. I still think the end game has got to be Rock and Roman.
Yeah.
But, you know, because coming in, I honestly thought, like, we'll probably get this match with The Rock and then next year with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
But to your point, they have to do a Cody Rock match now. And I, you know, hopefully that would be SummerSlam. But I got to reserve my feelings to see how this plays out as far as all that stuff goes.
For sure. I mean, tomorrow morning we might be singing a different tune, but where we're at now, halfway through Mania, it was the finish that told me that, because, you know, yeah, some people might think it seems obvious because we've had Rock and Cody doing this feud and Mama Rhodes and all that, but like, I figured Mania was the payoff to that. But the fact that Rock beat him clean tells me they're going to do a singles match, or at least that's the working plan. Carl in the chat checking in, he says, I hope they don't go the 2013 route of Rock winning the title at Rumble to drop it to Roman at Mania. Ooh,
that would be real bad.
We'll see. But I mean, it seems like Rock wants to work more. So he was on the post show scrum.
Okay.
Real quick. He said he felt fine. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to get to the point of Rock winning the title. Why does he need to win a title when he just brought his own, like,
right?
Fans who bring world titles to shows. He better be willing to put that up in a match against somebody if they so desire it. That was lame. I thought that was really lame. Kind of an ugly belt too.
Well, see, I haven't seen the Hall of Fame yet, full disclosure, but apparently he got the belt from Muhammad Ali's widow. So I mean, I have to see how that played out, but it's like the people's champion belt with Ali's lineage, I guess, is the idea. So, you know,
okay.
It's kind of cool, but I haven't seen how it played out on the Hall of Fame yet. So, but yeah, that's, we got Rock beating Cody clean. Rock in the post show scrum said he felt good. He was asked if he's going to do more matches, and he smiled really big and said something like maybe or something. So it's clear he wants to work more.
Mm-hmm.
And like Hunter put over the fact that this guy doesn't have to work. He wants to. And again, I agree with him. That's super cool that he wants to actually come back and work. This guy has a million businesses. He doesn't need to be wrestling out there. So it's cool that we get to see him in action again. And I thought, again, the match, I thought it was overbooked, not great, but he looked pretty good in what he did. I think he worked safe for the most part. That's what he needs to do. And yeah, I mean, I don't really have a ton of notes from the scrum otherwise. Roman came out there. He was asked if he was still undergoing chemo for leukemia, and he talked about how he's on medicine that he has to take for the rest of his life, but he's totally fine right now, but it's an ongoing issue. He went after a reporter in the crowd at one time who booed him and demanded that the reporter be kicked out. He was very serious about it, which was kind of funny. Rock was great. Very personable, as you'd expect. And I don't know. I like watching them to see if there's going to be any hard questions. There really wasn't, though, last night. It was mostly fluff.
For the most part. By the sounds coming from upstairs to me, I need to get back to parenting soon.
Yes.
But should we talk about what's going to happen on Wednesday?
Yes, because I plan on cutting this into its own video.
All right.
Afterwards. So let's close with this. So late Saturday night, it was revealed you know, during Collision, that the Young Bucks are going to air some unseen footage from All In the UK last summer. And we know now that it is going to be the Bucks and FTR wrestling at Dynasty in St. Louis here in 2 weeks. And so this plays into the fact that, number one, FTR, good friends of CM Punk, no surprise, but also it feels like it's the company reacting to the podcast interview with Ariel Helwani, where Punk bashed AEW considerably, said it wasn't a real wrestling company, said they're not out to sell tickets or make money, downplayed what happened backstage with Jack Perry as being a fight, and, you know, Tony's comments that he feared for his life and all of that. So apparently AEW is calling his bluff and they're going to show the footage, and it does not appear to be bait and switch. According to all the insider reports, they are legitimately planning to show the security footage of the fight between Punk and Perry at All In at Wembley Stadium last August. And yes, it is kind of a ratings ploy, no question about it. This feels like something that Eric Bischoff would do back in the day.
It's, I think it'd be something that Punk, old school Vince would do this too, I think.
I was getting to that. I think this is like 90s wrestling war to a T. This is the kind of stuff that they would do. And I mean, it can play out a couple of different ways for them. It's going to draw them a big rating, no question about it. I would be stunned if the rating doesn't pop for this. But there's the risk that it makes them look too petty. I mean, at the same time, we haven't seen the footage. Nobody backstage at AEW has seen the footage. The wrestlers are all under the impression that's legit what's happening, that they don't bait and switch. When they say they're going to do something, they really do it. Depending on what is on that footage, Punk could also come out looking real bad and it undermines his WWE run. So, I mean, it's hard to speculate too much on what's going to happen, Justin.
Give me
your thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first and foremost, do I want to see this footage? Absolutely. Please give it to me right now. But having said that, like, I just feel like this is a lose-lose situation. Like, if it makes Punk look bad, what is that going to do? He's just going to continue to work and be over in the WWE, and AEW is just going to have to go on. You know, maybe, I think best case scenario is that it makes a star out of Jack Perry somehow, if it makes him look good. But my concern is, like, from the reports, it's not going to be whatever happened with Tony that made him feel like his life was threatened. And there's just a chance that what they think this footage shows is not how it's going to be perceived by the public, that maybe it's just the way they made them feel in that moment is not going to correlate to how it makes everybody else feel. Like, if it is just, you know, Punk getting a chokehold on and that getting broken up right away, I just don't know what this is going to do for anybody.
No, the best case scenario is it makes Perry look good. That's the only win you can get out of this. I agree with you. It could make Punk look bad, and it could call his bluff and be like he was totally lying with what he said in that interview, and it's more than what he said. We don't know. We haven't seen it yet. But in the end, what's that going to do? I mean, are the WWE fans going to care? They're not. They're so tribalistic these days about WWE versus AEW. They're not going to care if Punk lied through his teeth about what happened. AEW fans might. And yeah, maybe it props up Perry, but it does feel like, I don't know how they come out of this with a win other than like the 1 week ratings boost. They get people talking about them during WrestleMania weekend. You know, I'm interested to see it. I'm not going to lie. I am very interested to see it.
I guess for me, it just comes down to, it's going to make me probably feel the same way the Punk interview did, which is just going to further cement the divide between fans who feel like they need to be loyal to one company. It's just going to further that divide.
Agreed. Tribalism will get worse for sure. I mean, we'll be talking about it later in the week to be sure. I'm excited to see it, but it's hard to imagine how this plays out in a positive way long-term. Apparently there's no legal issue with showing it. They wouldn't be doing it if there was. Apparently this has been cleared and they have every right to show it. And they're going to. So,
I mean, it could just be another misstep with them feeling the need to respond to stuff that isn't actually happening on television. Like that Edge promo was absolutely cringe to me. That was really embarrassing, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was too inside baseball. Some people are probably wondering, why is he doing this? Like, why is he coming out here saying AEW 30 times? Why exactly. This promotion is so good.
Yep.
I heard the interview, so I knew why he was doing it, but it was like, there are people, this is, seems, it's like so out of nowhere that it was bizarre. And then this is kind of the same thing. They're reacting, like you said, to something that was heard by a lot of people, but not part of like pro wrestling canon, not part of the television show. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see, Justin. But that was breaking late last night. It was real late. In fact, when I saw the news come across, I sent you and Jesse a text about it, but I didn't want to wake you up. So I sent it as like a Twitter DM instead. Because it was, I was up watching the post-show scrum when I heard about it, I think, for the first time. So we'll see. That's Wednesday night. And that's night one of WrestleMania. So night two tonight, join us if you're a patron, if you're on the $10 plus tier, or you can bump up your membership to join us 1 hour prior to Mania. Happy hour tonight for those patrons. I'll be on BR again during the main event, so you can get the BR app, Bleacher Report, and join me live. And then tomorrow morning, Jesse Velasquez will be back with me to review night two. You can join us live on YouTube. Justin, that's all I got, man. Enjoy WrestleMania Sunday. Any parting words?
Come on, you Spurs.
See you tomorrow morning, everybody.